What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode that we have here on the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed, another prospect interview. And we've had a lot of these going on. We love all the feedback that we've been getting from them. Ladies and gentlemen, I have another great guest on the show today. He is listed on the North Carolina State website at being around 6'2". He is from Raleigh, North Carolina. DJ Horn, DJ, how we doing, man?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem, man. I know you got a lot going on. Time is of the essence, so I always appreciate when players such as yourself make a little bit of time for us, man. And we always got to start with how it started for you, man. What got you into basketball? Why are you this good at basketball? Does your family have anything to do with it? Did you just kind of go your own way and develop a love for the game on your own? What got you into the sport?
Yeah, man. I mean, starting off as a kid, man, I know me and my brother got two younger brothers. But my dad, you know, he got us really started in the sports at an early age. And back then, you know, it was really all the sports, playing baseball, soccer, football, whatever season, whatever sport was in season at that time, you know, we were trying to get into it. So definitely started off with an athletic background. My dad ran track back in high school. He could have went to college to run track. Him and his twin brother were really good out of the state of Florida, but, you know, just not being blessed with the same opportunities that I was blessed with. You know, he ended up having to go into the military and, you know, just kind of seeing that and, you know, seeing how much time he was pouring into us, me and my brothers, with the sports and everything. Once I started to get of age to, you know, really understand what was going on, that's when it really stuck with me. Like, you know, I want to make something out of this basketball thing. Just because, you know, he didn't get to take his track opportunity to the furthest extent. So I would say around, like, middle school is when I started, you know, phasing out of all the other sports and just solely focusing on basketball.
So being from North Carolina, you know, first thing anybody thinks of outside of the state basketball-wise, of course, you know, the GOAT, Michael Jordan. He's my GOAT anyway. Is basketball, what's the basketball scene like in North Carolina? Because we hear about all these different scenes, right? We hear about, you know, Chicago, New York, California. What's the overall basketball scene like in North Carolina?
I mean, for me, I'm always gonna stay true to what I know, man. And I, from just being from North Carolina, seeing the guys that come out of this area, like you just said, Michael Jordan being one of those, you know, it's called the Hoop State for a reason. So a lot of great talent throughout the state, man. So growing up playing AAU here, high school basketball, it was great. Got to line myself up with some of the best talent in the country. See a lot of those guys playing in the big leagues now. So just, you know, knowing that you come from such a, you know, fine, I guess, lineage of where basketball is played, that it makes it that much more respectable, I guess, to be from here. And you know, I definitely rep my city, rep my state and everything. So yeah,
there you go. Yeah, I mean, like I said, first thing I think of is Michael Jordan being in North Carolina. You talk about, like, sounds like iron sharpening iron down there, right? Like, yeah. Everybody is bringing out the best in one another. And you get through your high school, man, you're an all-state talent. What was your recruitment process like whenever you were, you know, senior in high school, about to, you spoke to the opportunities that your dad and his brother, you know, didn't have. You had an opportunity to play D1 basketball. So what was your recruitment process like?
Yeah, I mean, for me, and that's where things kind of definitely, I would say that's probably the most adversity I faced in my young career. Just coming out of high school, I felt like going to a lot of the tournaments, AAU tournaments, I was one of the best people on my team. And, you know, the recruitment was just really slow. You go to the tournaments, you know, I dropped 30. You know, my teammates, you know, the 7-footers, the 6'10s always come out with all the offers from all the schools. So it was definitely frustrating, you know, just going through that whole process. It wasn't even until, you know, well until my senior year of high school was when I got my first offer. So, you know, going into senior year, you know, knowing this is all I got left, I was really, you know, uncertain of if I was even going to have that chance to play Division I basketball. And, yeah, it wasn't until a pro day, or not a pro day, you know, I forget what they call it back then, but, you know, all the college coaches kind of come to the gym.
Like a summit.
Yeah, something like
Army.
that.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a little like a college day, I guess you would call it. My high school, we just basically got up and down in front of a whole bunch of college coaches, and it wasn't till then where I got my first offer from Illinois State, and from there, four more came immediately after that with St. Louis, UMass Lowell, Northern Kentucky, and Towson. And just the fact that Illinois State, took that risk and, gave me opportunity to come play there when nobody else would. That kind of stuck with me and ultimately, led me to come in there.
And let's talk about that transition, because you said that you faced, the most adversity that you had ever faced as a player in that transition from your senior year of high school, getting those D1 offers. Now you're playing D1 basketball in the Missouri Valley Conference, right? What's the transition like? Because, I've interviewed a number of different players lately, and I'm always fascinated to see, like, what was your kind of like day one reaction to maybe was the speed different, the size different, regimen? What really stood out to you when you think back to that transition from high school to college basketball?
Yeah, I would just say honestly, just the speed of the game and just understanding that this is not like high school at all. You're not gonna take more than five dribbles, one on one and one tight mixtape basketball. It's a lot faster. If you don't got anything, one, two dribbles is pass. Just the strength you needed to have to be able to compete at the next level. Those were all things that kind of stood out to me from day one, just hooping with some of my teammates. Getting up and down, and I would say I give a lot of credit to my coach Nat Muller. He kind of threw me out there in the fire, as a youngin, and I think that really allowed for my game to, take the necessary jumps that it did.
And that's always something that it is a little bit of a risk, right? Because you kind of have coaches that are kind of like one, they're either on one side of this or the other, where they'll just throw a bunch of freshmen or young players out there and let them, trial by fire, or the younger players kind of have to work their way up into that. But you spent a couple seasons at Illinois State, you transfer to Arizona State. Was there a sizable difference in like the consistency maybe of like that conference going from the Missouri Valley Conference to the Pac-12 for a couple of seasons? Did you find that transition to be like maybe easier or more difficult?
I would say that in my sophomore year, Illinois State definitely prepared me to go to Arizona State in the Pac-12. I felt like I just came off a good year. That second year at Illinois State, and it gave me a lot of confidence going to Arizona State. So I just kind of used that confidence to basically get there and know that, I'm the guy coming from the MVC, a mid-major type conference to a Power Five. So the work is just gonna have to show for itself, and that for me had been nothing, new for my whole life. I feel like I've always had to play with that kind of chip on my shoulder mentality, and the underdog kind of mentality. So I wasn't gonna look to, approach this situation any different. So when I got there, just I would say just the attention and the, I guess, how much more attention was on, the basketball program there than it was at Illinois State. I mean, given it is a Pac-12 and that is the Missouri Valley Conference, so I think a lot of that had to do with it. But I think that just the confidence piece in me allowed me to not even think like that. Oh, this is going to be better competition. I knew that if I got the opportunity, that I was going to be able to, make a name for myself.
And that makes sense. We see a lot of players now kind of make that leap from, those mid majors or low major schools to the high major ends and have a lot of success. And you had two really good seasons with the Sun Devils. But by the end of your time there, you found yourself in the transfer portal again. And I always love to ask this question because the transfer portal is, especially this season, right? Like the transfer portal is very polarizing. There's a lot of people that say, oh, well, it's hard on the coaches, and it probably is, right? Like they are in a constant state of recruitment. But I love the opportunities that it gives the players, right? That, you don't hold a player down for 4 years because they made a decision when they were coming out of high school. I think it gives you guys more opportunities. But what was it like for you as a player? Did you have your phone on your hip the whole time? Did you like have you Were you talking with your family a lot about where you wanted to go ultimately? Like, what was your experience with the portal like?
I mean, both times that I was in the portal, you know, that experience was really crazy. And it for me, it was just kind of like that satisfaction that I didn't get coming out of high school. And so for me, it was like, okay, well, now people are respecting my game, people understand how good I am, and that I can actually play at this level. And it was crazy though, but it was a good crazy, you know, talking to all these coaches, getting to build relationships and seeing, you know, how that whole process goes, given the fact that I didn't get to really do that coming out of high school. And I would just say, like, for anybody, you know, in the portal or going in the portal, you know, it's you know, not as easy as they say it is, man. You got to be on that phone 24/7, talking to a lot of different people. Sometimes you can get, you know, four or five calls just from the same school, talking from the head coach to the assistants to this person on staff. So a lot of phone calls, I would say, during that time period.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, the portal is fascinating to me because essentially it's a re-recruitment for you guys, and you know, and it. I love, like I said, I love the opportunities that it gives players, man. And you had the opportunity ultimately to transfer to NC State. Now we know that you're from Raleigh. Was that the driving factor in where you ultimately committed? Because you could have gone to a number of different places, DJ.
For me, you know, especially with this being my last year, I felt like that I had reached a point in my game where I was very comfortable, and I felt like, you know, I had made a lot of jumps in my game to where I want my family to see this, and a lot of my friends that, you know, started with me day one to see this. You know, playing on the West Coast, a 9 o'clock game is almost going on midnight for my boys back at the crib. So,
I know the feeling. It's rough, man. It's just staying
yeah,
awake.
yeah, man. You want to try to stay awake, and it's just like, man, I got stuff to do tomorrow. It's already 1 in the morning, so like, couldn't blame or anything like that. But you know, knowing that I had the power to, you know, change that with my last year and just everything that, you know, thinking about it then, the storyline of what it could have been if I go home and, you know, we win something. That was, you know, a lot of the thoughts that were cycling through my head. And you know, obviously talking with family and everything, wanted to be closer back home for them, going to be able to get a home cooked meal, and nothing beats that. So I would say just that overall wanting to be home.
I love that, man. And you talked about the storyline that could happen with what could happen if you were to go back home. We'll get to that in a second, but I want to touch on your individual season. I'm sure you're going to hate me just talking about how good of a season you had, DJ. I mean, you had about 17 points per game, 3.5 rebounds per game, over 2 assists, almost a steal and a half. You had shooting splits of 44, 40, and 81. Boiling that down, DJ, you had your strongest season as a college basketball player. What was your mindset coming into the year? I mean, you talked about story, but did you have like personal goals, ambitions, milestones that you wanted to hit? What was your mindset coming into your last year of college ball?
I mean, in a nutshell, just like how you said it, I just wanted to have my best year as a collegiate athlete, with it being my last, and to do it at home, you know, that kind of gave me a little added motivation. You know, a lot of hype coming into it, hometown hero this, you know, the hometown kids coming back, let's see if he can lead the pack this. So a lot of noise, you know, coming in, and I just wanted to be able to live up to that, knowing that, you know, I gotta be, this is where I gotta call home for the rest of my life. So definitely want to have, you know, a good rep to go along with that. And just knowing that this was my last year to, you know, get myself, you know, as prepared as possible for this next phase, which is, you know, trying to be a pro. I knew that, you know, this year was going to have to be my best if I wanted to, you know, heighten those chances of, you know, making it to the next level.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I have flashbacks of, you know, when Carmelo Anthony went to the Knicks, you know, after a career in Nuggets, he did that. I'm coming home. I love that vibe, man. I love how players will go back to their roots and do well for themselves, man. I mean, you did well for yourself. Obviously, NC State had a pretty interesting season, I would say, right? Like you were the 11th seed in the NCAA tournament after going 26-15, went on an absolute heater in the ACC tournament. Team's obviously feeling pretty good going into March Madness, man, and you had a heck of a stretch, very efficient, high octane scorer. What did Coach Keats like? How did he prepare you guys for that moment? Because, I mean, obviously you're riding high after a solid ending of the year. Did he try to like recenter you guys coming into that as the 11th seed, or was he like, hey, let's bottle this up and get as much out of this as we can?
Yeah, you know, it was very interesting just that whole period of time. Because, I mean, for us, we had lost the last four of our regular season games going into the ACC tournament. So, and I was also hurt. I got hurt that last game at Pitt, and going into the ACC tournament, didn't even really know what my status would be like. So I remember Coach Keats all pulling us in for a team meeting before we headed to D.C. And I think that's kind of what sparked it all, honestly. I got to give a lot of credit to Keats because, you know, a team losing the last four of the regular season, it could be easy to just go ahead and pack it up. You know, you're not making the tournament. You have to be a miracle, you know, winning the ACC championship to even make that. So as a player, it's, you know, you think realistically, and losing four of the last games of the season didn't have us, or, you know, realistically speaking, wouldn't, you know, look too good for our chances of making the postseason, which is March. But, you know, we had a team meeting. Keats basically told us, you know, it's 0-0, man. It's a new season. You know, we're a very good team. We've shown that, you know, the 5-1 start to the ACC conference, which is something, you know, that hadn't been done here in a long time. Started off really good. You know, we are that same team. You know, we just got to come together and basically, you know, everybody understand their role. And if we could do that, you know, we could play with the best in the country. And I think that everybody really, you know, took heed to that message. And, I mean, the rest was history from there, as you guys can see. That was probably the most connected I've ever been with a group of guys throughout my whole college career. And, you know, the more we kept winning, the closer we got.
And y'all got really close, man. I mean, you said the more you got winning as the 11th seed, you know, Coach Keats and your squad, man, y'all ended up beating Texas Tech, Oakland, Marquette, and Duke. And you ended up, you know, Purdue is a very formidable opponent. A lot of people picked them winning the NCAA tournament. You obviously end up, you know, falling to them. Obviously, your goal is to win it all, man. But after having some time to reflect on the season, how do you think that you're going to remember your last year at NC State?
Yeah, man, it's crazy, you know, because people ask me all the time, have I ever, like, been able to just think about it and soak in it? And it's still, I don't know how much time has passed, but it just seemed like life has been so crazy, you know, preparing for the draft and just working out, going to this. I did the Pitt Invitational right after the season. So things have still been moving very fast paced to me, where I haven't even really been able to sit down and think about it. But just from being home, going back and clearing out my locker, looking through all the March stuff that we got, like, I think it's starting to settle in a little bit more. But, you know, just thinking about, you know, how long NC State's been here and all the stuff they accomplished, I think I'll definitely go down as, you know, one of the greatest guards to do it at State, just, you know, bringing the ACC championship there. And, you know, for me, being from Raleigh, it means everything, you know, I have the bragging rights for the rest of my life.
That's right, man. I mean, it's a heck of a run, heck of a season. I know you got a lot going on and you're preparing for a bunch of things. Your college career now being behind you, what are you doing to prepare for this next stage of your basketball career? Are you trying to sharpen the skills that you've already shown? Are you looking to put more things on display, like maybe some specific aspects of your games that you're maybe wanting to show some more of?
Yeah, man. I would just say, just one, trying to, you know, continue to ride the high and all the success that we had late in the season at NC State, and then just having that carry over into this next phase. I'm doing my pre-draft training out in Dallas at the Star Sports Academy out there. So really just trying to, you know, sharpen all this, sharpen everything, keep the skills that were sharp, and, you know, just, you know, iron sharpen iron every day, working out with a lot of good guys, some of the top talent that's getting ready for the draft as well. So just taking it day by day, man, as a basketball player, especially, you know, trying to get ready for this next phase that I'm getting ready for. You know, there's really no time off, and I would say that I'm definitely enjoying the grind.
All right, man. Well, I want to thank you so much for your time, DJ. I got one more question for you, though. Let's say that, NBA team has you at a table. They're sitting across from you. Say, hey, DJ, we're liking what we're seeing. We're thinking about going. We're thinking about bringing you along. What could we expect from you on a day-by-day basis?
Yeah, I mean, you just expect the dog, man. I don't think that any of this has been given to me. So to be here at this point is a blessing, but just understanding what's got me here and to not really change anything from that. And I think that if I get my foot in the door, same way I got my foot in the door at Illinois State, it'll just take off from there with the opportunity given. So I would say that somebody's gonna get a dog.
I mean, you're a dog on the court, man. I don't doubt it at all. And DJ, again, thank you for your time, man. I know you have a lot going on. It means a lot that you're willing to give us a little bit of your precious time. Just be sure to, thank your dad for his service from all of us here in No Ceilings, and I'm sure our audience is passing that along as well. And we'll be keeping up with you, man. Do you have a place? Do you have a social that maybe the people who are, wanting to follow and see what's going on with you, that people might be able to kind of follow along?
Yeah, well, first off, I say, appreciate you guys having me and everything. It was a pleasure and all of that. And for the fans or anybody who wants to, follow the journey, just follow me on my Instagram. It's literally just my name, so DJ Horn. No underscores, no numbers, and made it real easy for everybody. So yeah, just follow me on there and continue along with the journey.
All right, there you go. All right, for everybody listening, thank you so much for your time. Just be sure to like, share, subscribe, rate, and review to all platforms for No Ceilings. Go to No Ceilings on the YouTube channel, subscribe there. And until then, we'll be catching up with y'all later. Don't be a stranger, DJ. All right, we'll be keeping up with you, bro.
Yeah, I got you, man. I got you.
All right, y'all have a good one.